This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, welcome back.
Well, pleasure to be back. Thanks for having me. Well,
the big story here, as the summer heat swelters once again in Washington, is this battle over the debt ceiling. The president saying on Thursday that he feels constructive progress was made. Not bad, considering on Wednesday he said Republicans were using the debt ceiling like a gun to the head of the American people. So apparently a little more comedy has at least been established, if not actual compromise. How much ground do you think there still remains between the two sides?
Well, I really don't know. The president appeared at the White House briefing room today and said that they have made progress and the talks were very constructive, the talks being, of course, his meetings earlier in the day with congressional leaders of both parties. He said they would meet again on Sunday, and then everyone would know the respective bottom lines of the White House and the U.S. House. I have to say that Republican leaders, almost to a person, had no comment on the meeting or on the president's reaction to it. So we really don't know any more than we did before, except the rhetoric has been toned down a bit. The speculation game continues. Earlier in the day, it was widely reported that Congressman Eric Cantor, majority leader of the House, said Republicans would consider getting rid of some of the tax breaks for the higher wage earners. On the other hand, that would only happen if you were able to have significant tax breaks for the rest of the taxpaying public, or perhaps a lowering of corporate and personal income tax rates. Now, again, Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform and others who say no tax increase, so help me God, are not going to look with a lot of trust at Cantor's statement. Then again, there is the view that if this leads to lower tax rates overall, they can give up a few deductions. Either way, a lot of speculation is on the Republican side. I might add that behind closed doors, I learned today Congressman Cantor explained his statement in detail about this to his fellow Republican House members. Let's talk about it again next week.
There should be some more progress. Well, at least we'll see if there's more progress. John, yeah. Obviously this seems to be coming, at least at this point, down to a battle over tax increases or no tax increase. It's possible, I guess, that this loophole discussion that you just elaborated on could end up being the middle ground here. But if, in fact, there's even the perception in some areas of tax increases that this Republican Congress went along with, will that be the end of the coziness between the GOP and the Tea Party?
Well, it wouldn't do a lot to cement the marriage, let's put it that way. Remember, the Tea Party, and again, even before the Tea Party, there was Norquist and others in the Axe the Tax movement who were having pledges of no tax increase or no new taxes. And again, one has to interpret, is giving up a little for something greater a violation of that pledge? I posed this question a few years ago with Governor Haley Barbour of Mississippi when he signed into law an increase in the cigarette tax of the state. That seemed to be a dramatic shift from the position he had taken along, which was the no new tax or no higher tax position. His point was that the state was headed in the direction of raising cigarette taxes anyway, that they had not done this in a long time, and that if it was going in that way, he would get the best possible deal, which was to cut other taxes and shrink the size of government. It depends on how you look at these things.
John, this is not the only tax showdown in the country. The state of Minnesota has seen a government shutdown over the past few days because of this very same issue. Republicans came into the majority in both chambers of the legislature, promising absolutely no tax hikes of any kind. Democratic Governor Mark Dayton, formerly a U.S. senator, wants that in order to bridge the budget gap. Right now, it looks like the two sides are more further apart than they have been in recent days. What do you expect there?
I have to say that in this case, I'm not going to predict a winner. This is taking what is going on in Washington in microcosm and expanding it. The Republicans say no taxes, and if that means government is shut down, so be it. And Governor Dayton, on the other hand, says he wants progress, he'll make cuts, but he needs a tax increase somewhere. And it is not that much different from what happened when Bill Clinton was eyeball to eyeball with Newt Gingrich and Bob Dole in 1995, and the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue blinked. They never recovered their momentum, and Clinton started to become the comeback kid once again. I think the Republicans are aware of this in Minnesota, and if they hold out further, they believe Dayton will give in. That's one that's worth watching.
And also worth watching is to see where the American people come down on it. They want their government smaller, but they don't like these battles. They want things to be done, and sometimes to get things done, bad deals get made. So we'll see what kind of stomach the voters have compared to where they were several months ago at the midterm elections. John, let's talk briefly about one of your favorite topics, because John Gizzi was covering the IMF before the IMF was cool and making headlines with disastrous and horrific allegations being made against the leader of the IMF. But Dominique Strauss-Kahn at this point appears like he's not going to face any serious charges whatsoever due to the case falling apart and the scandalous past of the maid who was the accuser in this case. You've been following not only that, but also his replacement as head of the IMF. How does this all shake out and affect the real world?
Well, let's look at it just in those terms, Greg. First of all, the International Monetary Fund is very, very important, and all Americans should know it. In large part, this is because of the bailouts to the tunes of more than $100 billion each of Greece, Portugal, and Ireland. And when one couples the fact that the largest shareholder in the IMF is, surprise, the United States, and that it increased its donations to the IMF by $108 billion 2 years ago, well, this is an important issue. Let's leave aside the scandal of the past managing director. The new director, Christine Lagarde, former finance minister of France, met with my colleagues and me who cover the IMF just yesterday. This is her third stint in the United States, the first being high school, the second being when she was managing partner of a law firm. She was articulate, spoke accent-free English, and said she would have an open management style, bringing people in, and her top priority was Greece, which many fear will default on its IMF loan. And her charisma charmed reporters and television audiences. Now, whether that can translate into the IMF getting a handle and make sure it gets its money back and its shareholders do will make or break Christine Lagarde as somebody who bestrides the world stage as a player. Regarding the fate of the man known in France as DSK, someone else I have covered for some time, it does appear, as you say, that he will walk from the charges in New York for a lot of reasons. He still faces a charge of rape that's 10 years old in France. In any event, if I were a betting man, I would say that the man who once seemed destined to become president of France in 2012 will not run. This has obviously taken his toll on him, the polls that show sympathy for among French voters notwithstanding.
John, very interesting. So much to discuss, and we'll do it again next week.
Waiting to see what happens with government, the debt ceiling, and what the bottom line is Sunday. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.